Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Acts 15. Then some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after engaging these men in sharp debate, Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. Sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, recounting the conversion of the Gentiles and bringing great joy to all the brothers. On their arrival in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and apostles and elders, to whom they reported all that God had done through them. But some believers from the party of the Pharisees stood up and declared, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses." So the apostles and elders met to look into this matter. After much discussion, Peter got up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that the Gentiles would hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, showed his approval by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you test God by placing on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe it is through the grace of the Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." The whole assembly fell silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul describing the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they had finished speaking, James declared, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has told us how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people to be his own. The words of the prophets agree with this, as it is written, 'After this, I will return and rebuild the fallen tent of David. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, so that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does these things that have been known for ages.' It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not cause trouble for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write and tell them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been proclaimed in every city from ancient times, and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." Then the apostles and elders, with the whole church, decided to select men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, two leaders among the brothers, and sent them with this letter: "The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the brothers among the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. It has come to our attention that some went out from us without our authorization and unsettled you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose men to send to you, along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to tell you in person the same things we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond these essential requirements. You must abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell." So the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they assembled the congregation and delivered the letter. When the people read it, they rejoiced at its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the brothers in peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained at Antioch, along with many others, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Some time later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in every town where we proclaimed the word of the Lord, to see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. But Paul thought it best not to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not accompanied them in the work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This is God's word. Paul and Barnabas had been chosen by the Holy Spirit back in Acts 13 to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Here in Acts 15, however, they had a disagreement that they could not resolve. That disagreement was detailed in verses 36 through 41. The occasion for their disagreement was a desire to return to the churches that they had founded in their first missionary journey, as we saw in verse 36. Ultimately, this trip would become Paul's second missionary journey. But the reason for their disagreement was a man named John Mark. Barnabas wanted John Mark to come, but Paul was opposed to it because John Mark had already deserted them on the first missionary journey, as we saw in verse 38. The result of their disagreement was that they split and went their separate ways, according to verse 39. This passage is instructive to us in a number of ways. According to verse 40, Paul was commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. And that suggests that the church at Antioch, see verse 35, but the church at Antioch officially backed Paul, so he would seem to be the winner of this dispute. Over time, however, God used John Mark to write the gospel according to Mark as we know it, and even Paul had to admit that Mark was useful in Paul's ministry. You can see 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 for that. So while Paul may have been backed officially by his church, apparently Barnabas was wise to include Mark despite Paul's objections. One lesson from this passage, then, is that, sadly, there are times when godly Christians have problems with each other that they cannot resolve. That seems strange to me to admit. If everyone involved is walking with God, it would seem that every issue should be solvable. But if godly men like Paul and Barnabas, even they couldn't agree to extend grace to Mark after his failure, then we should accept that sometimes disagreements among God's people cannot always be resolved. Another related lesson is to realize that God used Paul and Silas, and he also used Barnabas and Mark, so both teams, after the split, were used by the Lord. In other words, they did not agree, but that did not mean that one party was in sin and the other party was not. Have you ever had a disagreement with another believer that you could not resolve? Were you convinced that you were in the right and they were in the wrong? Did you conclude that they must be in sin, or at least be unwise? Let this passage cause you to reconsider. As believers, we should do everything we can in our power to resolve issues with other believers. But we should also be prepared to, as the saying goes sometimes, disagree agreeably, without condemning the other person. Can you choose to believe the best about another believer, even if you can't resolve every problem with that person? And before we end this devotional, just note, in the next devotional, we're going to leave the book of Acts for a bit and read the book of Galatians for the next several days. So, we'll see you next time for that, and I hope you have a great day. May God bless you today. We'll see you next time.